Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Kim Kerr is a volunteer. She's a coordinator at the South African Ukraine Crisis. Kim, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Thank you for having me today.
So what is the current situation? How many South Africans are trapped in Ukraine and trying to get out?
Well, that's the difficult question. The first day that I started doing this, I asked the ambassador how many South Africans we've got there, and his answer was about 200.
Okay.
The number sounded very low to me. The difficulty is that, unfortunately, and we saw this with repatriation when we thought there were roughly 2,000 South Africans abroad when lockdown started, and by the time we finished, there were 22,000 that we'd gotten back in the country.
Right.
So the difficulty is that people don't register themselves with embassies.
Yeah, so it might be that somebody's there and they just trying to manage on their own. They don't record themselves with an embassy. Is that right? And that way you'll not know that they are a South African trying to get back.
Exactly. And actually, right in the beginning of all of this, the embassy sent emails to the mainly students in Ukraine to say, look, you know, you need to get out and this is what we're going to do. And obviously, most people didn't get the message because they don't register.
Okay, so it doesn't help you. It doesn't help at all. So, I mean, interestingly enough, that is a lesson that if you are in an area at any point in your life that you that things maybe look a little bit precarious, register with the embassy because that way they know that you are there and that they can try and assist you.
It is never a bad thing to let your embassy know that you're in their country. We saw that with the tsunami. We saw it with COVID. You don't have to expect these things.
Right. Interesting that. So what is the, I mean, is there a plan? Is there a combined strategy? Or do you just help people on an individual basis depending on their circumstances?
So we've teamed up with the embassies. We deal a lot daily with the ambassador in Ukraine. He's actually there in a bunker at the moment with his family. Also the ambassadors in Ukraine, Hungary and Poland. And we've got a South American ambassador in Hungary who we also work with. And we work together. They send us names, we send them names. We've created WhatsApp groups just for the ambassadors and ourselves and a few other DIRCO individuals. And we work with them all the time. And then we've got WhatsApp groups just for evacuees. And then again, separate WhatsApp groups, depending on which country's borders you're going to be passing through. We have groups for those so that it's easier for people to keep track, send us pins and all of that kind of thing. And I mean, to date, we've managed to evacuate 30 through Poland, 4 through Romania, 7 through Slovakia and 25 through Hungary.
Incredible.
So that's about 66, I think, individuals. We know of 31, but daily, especially through the Facebook page we've created for this, people get hold of us and say, you know, my son's there, my mom's there, my sister's there. They send us details, we add them to the WhatsApp group and get them going because they don't know where to start.
What about a situation where somebody might be South African but is maybe married to a Ukrainian? How do we deal with that here?
It's a difficult one and it happens in both directions. Three of the people we're helping at the moment are not born South African. It's a wife, her child, and her mother who are in Ukraine, and her husband is a South African in Mossel Bay. So we're helping her to make her way to the border. And we have another guy who has decided to stay in Ukraine because he doesn't want to leave his wife's 23-year-old son. Unfortunately, he has to stay behind and he has no choice. He's not allowed to leave.
So they are stopping all young men from, Ukrainian young men from leaving Ukraine. Is that right?
100%. We did manage to coach somebody into being able to leave with dual nationality.
Right.
He shouldn't, strictly speaking, have been able to leave, but it was a man and his young children and his wife. So we did coach him into what to do and how to do it.
Very, very
but it is, it's frightening. And especially through the Polish borders. We don't take anybody through the Polish borders anymore at all. We advise very strongly against it, because not only will they not let Ukrainian men through, they most certainly will not let our men through. So they are prioritizing women and children. And they even have gone to the extent of creating makeshift borders in the no man's land between borders, and have stopped our people at gunpoint. So, and beating them with batons.
Wow,
so
wow.
You don't go through. If they don't want you going through, you're not going through. And if you fight, they fight back.
Is there,
so we don't use the Polish borders.
There has been allegations of racism at the Polish border in particular. Is that a real factor?
It's not racism. It is profiling based on skin color. And I know that sounds...
Yeah, hold on.
Like racism.
Yeah, that's pretty much the definition, no?
Well, not really. So because from afar, the best way to know that you're not Ukrainian...
Right.
Is if you are Indian.
Right. Okay.
Or you are black.
Right.
Okay. So from afar, they're going to push you back because they're going to walk towards you and say, you're not coming here. When they get close to you, if you're not speaking Ukrainian, then they're going to stop you too. So it's not, it's not racial profiling. It's more, you know, profiling your nationality.
Interesting.
From afar.
Okay.
And we have had problems like that. A lot of our people that we're helping are students. There's a very good med school there, so it's predominantly med students, and a lot of them are black, and they're struggling. They really are struggling. And when I say struggling, I mean one student's been wearing the same clothes for 6 days. We've got students who left. There's one guy who left on Thursday morning, and he just managed to get through one of the borders. He got to the front of the border gate the other day after having walked, I think it was a 10 or 17 hour walk that he walked to the front of the line. And, you know, the waits at the borders are anything over 100 hours. And when he got to the front, they let through two girls, that one of which was injured. We had two girls who had gotten to the front. Eventually, one was very badly injured taking the train. She got trampled in a stampede trying to get onto the free trains.
Amazing.
She had to make her way through there. And
he
waited for them. Got
this,
to the front.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's too terrible. And then they chased him away because he was a man.
Absolutely.
So
terrible.
He had to leave there, found a guy, hitched a ride. I mean, these are the stories. And he's still not through yet. He's gotten through the one border. He's now in no man's land. He's trying to get through the next border.
Kim, we do need to leave it there.
And
it is
days
absolutely,
later.
Absolutely frightening. Keep doing the work that you're doing, and I hope that you succeed one person at a time, bringing South Africans back from the area, which is obviously in crisis.